But let's pray. Father, I just want to come before you right now. And as we come to your word, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that it just doesn't come into our heads only, but into our hearts. That we're not hearers of your word only, but doers. Because, Father, you're calling a kingdom that not only knows your word, that understands your word, but walks your word. And Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you will just switch on the things in our lives, in our hearts that will just connect with you. Anoint our ears to hear what your Spirit will say to us this day. Because Father, we're desperate for a move of God. We're tired of just church. We're tired of going through motions. We need a shake up. We need you, Lord, to do something new in a way that will blow our minds because, Father, we need your Holy Spirit in every day of our lives. And, Lord, as we read your word, challenge us afresh, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to be blessed. That was certainly a statement of faith. You haven't even heard my sermon yet. It's important to actually go into God's word and actually start to allow it to affect our lives. And I'd like just to turn to the book of Mark in chapter 10 and verse 46. Many of you will probably know this story and listen to this story and even heard sermons on this story. But I just want you to open your minds to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you afresh today. Because one of the problems is that sometimes we'll look at a familiar story and we've already prejudged it before the Holy Spirit speaks. And I just want us to be, every time we look at God's word, when you're working through God's word and your own personal devotions, it's to say to the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me afresh what you want to say to me this day. Because as much as a great preacher that Robin is, or whoever else is preaching off this platform, the Holy Spirit is the greatest preacher. And he will override any of us. And whatever you hear from this platform, I challenge you, go home and ask the Holy Spirit, is that right? Go work through it today, through yourselves, because as you do this, I believe we'll grow as the body of Christ. How desperate are you for God to move? How desperate are you? Have you come to that point in your life where you're saying, God, there has to be something more than this? I don't know about you, but I come to that point quite regularly. And I said, Lord, if this is all it is, take me home now. But Lord, I want to know more. And I'm going to read you a story about found in Mark 10, 46. And it says this. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garments, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? Then the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now, I love the story of Bartimaeus because we can all put ourselves in certain points into his position. Every day he was going through the same routine. How many of us have got the same routine every single day? We get up, we clean our teeth, we read our Bible, we pray, we actually get out of the house, we go to work, we come back to work, we say hi to our family and we go to sleep. That sums up most of our days, isn't it? And the thing is, this is what, imagine Bartimaeus every single day, he was living in complete darkness. And I want to tell you today, there's a lot of people in Redditch that are living in darkness. Every day they're getting up not knowing what that day will bring. People didn't treat people like Bartimaeus very well. Quite often beggars on the side of the road would have been assaulted and pushed to one side. They were seen as being afflicted. They were seen as people that were second class. Yet every day, Bartimaeus used to get up, put a cloak around his body. I know that because it tells about it. And would sit on the same part of the road as he did the day before. And as he was on that road, he had a begging bowl and he was begging and he was just wanting just enough to survive. And then he would get home at the end of the day if he managed to get, not knowing when people were putting money in or taking money out of the bowl that was in front of him. And he was hoping for enough just to survive, just to get through. Just be able to make do. And I want to tell you, people are trying to do that right now around us. They just want to survive. They just want to get through. And it seems to be like Bartimaeus, that every time he's trying to make a step forward, people will just kick him back. He had enough. He had enough. And so he went to the place where he was already one moment, and he heard rumors about this Jesus. And then the next day, he heard a few more rumors about this Jesus. It's great to actually spread rumors about Jesus. Have you heard that? If you want to start to change society, spread rumors about Jesus. Tell him how great this Jesus is. Not just through your words, but by your actions. When they see your lives, when they see how you respond to situations, you're spreading the words of Jesus. When you're talking about the love and the power that comes from him, the testimonies of what God has done in your life, you're spreading the word of Jesus. And just like Bartimaeus, when people are sitting in darkness, when the words of Jesus starts to come through, step by step, you can imagine every day he was starting to listen and hear and started to think, what about this Jesus? Is this Jesus really for me? Has he got something that can offer me? Is he something that can get me out of this darkness? To give me a hope and give me life? To give me a future and something to live for? You can imagine it working, because faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. And so Bartimaeus, this one day, with all these things that have been going around his head, heard, Jesus is here. Jesus is walking by. He heard the crowds and the people were saying to him, just stay by the side. This is not for you. Keep out of it. I want to tell you that Jesus is for everybody. You may be home listening to this message right now. Jesus is for you. Jesus is for your family. He's for your neighborhood. He's for your workplace. Jesus is the reason. He's the way. He is the truth. And he's the life. There is no other way except through Jesus. And yet people started to push him to one side. And what happened? He started to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Are we really willing to cry out to Jesus right now? Have mercy upon me. Or are we content going through the same motions every single day of our lives until we meet him in glory? Are we content with the status quo? Or are we saying, Jesus, I've had enough. Jesus, I want out. I want out of this situation. I want an encounter with you. But guess what? The people didn't like it. You know, people don't like it when we cry out to Jesus, because it shows them up, really. They don't like being out of their comfort zone, because when you see people zealous for Jesus, they think, well, that was me 30 years ago. What happened? And they started to think people like to push people down because it makes them feel more comfortable if they try and stifle what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But this man didn't give up. They said, be quiet. And he said, no. And it's good to say no sometimes. Oh, no. How many people heard that message last week? It's like, oh, no, it's every single day. It's coming to an oh, no situation. But actually, people were pushing him down. People were saying to him, just shut up. Be quiet. You're insignificant. You're worthless. What's this Jesus going to do to you? And you make, this is the words the enemy will say to you. What's this Jesus going to do for you? How are you going to get out of this miry clay? How are you going to get out of this situation? How are you going to change? Why is this Jesus interested in you? And sometimes we listen to the voice of the enemy and it comes in and it starts to ring in our ears louder. But this man had a conviction within him. It's time to change. It's time to break through. And he said, no, Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus. And then the more they said to be quiet, guess what? He got louder. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of crying out to Jesus. Because he knew there was something about it. And then suddenly something happened. After they warned him to be quiet, Jesus stood still. For me, this is one of the most prevalent scriptures and something that speaks to me time and time again. That the voice that of me speaking out to God can make Jesus stand still. Why? Because he heard the faith of a man that wanted a change. He heard the faith of a man that had enough. He heard about this Jesus and he wanted to encounter him. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. You can imagine disciples, what's there so special about this blind beggar? Why is Jesus wanting to be called? But the disciples who said, look, okay then, how are we supposed to find this person? We can hear his voice. And these disciples then had to push their way through the crowds to get to the side of the road where Bartimaeus was. Now, this is like the church, that we can hear the calling of the people wanting a change in our lives, but the church needs to work to actually push its way through the indifference of our society to reach out to a broken and lost generation to bring them to the feet of Jesus. Because if we don't work a way, the blind cannot find the way. And these people, the disciples said, look, we're going to push through. He said to Bartimaeus, come, be of good cheer, be happy. Rise, he is calling you. I want to say the Lord is calling people unto himself right now. Now, Bartimaeus had a choice. A lot of people can actually say the right things, but not willing to put it into action. He could have, at that moment in time, said, well, you know what? Society is not that great at the moment, but at least I'm comfortable. I may not like where I am, but I know where I am. But he just got up and he left his cloak on the side of the road. The very thing that would comfort him in the cold and the situation he was, he said, I want to discard that. And I want to say that if you want to get close to Jesus, we've got to discard the very thing that makes us comfortable. We've got to discard the very thing that is holding us back, where we put our trust. It is like a comfort blanket. And we're going to say, Lord, remove it. He made a choice. He said, look, I want to break free from my situation. I want to get to the feet of Jesus. The disciples have come. I have a choice. I could say yes or I could say no. You see, we don't often get many chances. See, Jesus was on the right way to Jerusalem at this moment in time. And within a few days, he would be crucified. That was the last time that Jesus was going to walk down that road. And if Bartimaeus had got to that point and said, look, Lord, maybe we'll do it tomorrow instead, it would have been too late. But he's persistent. He came and he dropped the very things at the feet where he was. He rose up, throwing aside. Oops. That's a good position, isn't it? Throwing aside his garments, he rose and he came to Jesus. And so Jesus answered to him and said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? What do you really want? You've got to the feet of Jesus. You're standing into face to face with Jesus himself. And he's asking you a question. What do you really want? What would you respond to that? What would you really respond? I mean, if you're Bartimaeus, can't you see that I'm blind? And you're asking me, what do I really want? But Jesus was looking deeper than the superficial. He was looking into the heart of Bartimaeus and saying, what do you really want? What do you want to change? And we can look at the superficial things of our lives and say, you know what? Life would be a lot more easier if I could, I don't know, get a pay rise of about 3-4 grand extra every year. That would be quite nice. Life would be a bit easier if we didn't have all those situations of all this crowds around. Just get rid of the crowds. I said, I want to be able to see. I want to be able to see. Give me my sight. And Jesus was more interested in his spiritual sight than his physical sight. And Jesus is more interested in the spiritual side of each one of us than more than the physical side. I remember I used to train and follow the guy called Don Double. And one of his famous quotes that he often says, you can go to heaven with a sick body, but you can't go to heaven with a sin-sick soul. And the reality is we can have all this body taken care of. And God can heal our bodies, don't get me wrong. He loves to heal bodies. He knows how to heal them. He created them. But the most important thing is the healing of the heart, the healing that's inside. And Bartimaeus, for years and years, was living in feeling he was inadequate, feeling as though he was worth nothing. And then it's like God could see right into the heart of Bartimaeus and say, look, I want to speak life, not just into the physical, but into the spiritual, into your soul, and make you feel whole again. What do you want me to do? And the same question God is asking you right now. What do you want God to do in this church? Do you want it to be the same as it's always been because it's comfortable? Do you want God to shake it up and change things? Are you prepared to do what it takes? To discard the comfort blanket, to discard the very things that we're used to be able to get to Jesus? And so as Bartimaeus stood in front of Jesus, suddenly he could see. Now Bartimaeus had a choice. Sometimes we just come to Jesus to get what we want. You know those prayers, the shopping list prayers? Lord, I want this, 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 and this. And when we get it, what do we do? Nothing. Lovers, we don't even thank Jesus for the prayer that he's just answered. It's almost as though it's an expectation. But we need to get to that point where we're saying, Lord, open my eyes. And there Bartimaeus did something. He never went back to pick up his cloak. And many Christians will come to Jesus. They feel that God is touching them. That God has reached out. He's anointed. His anointing has come upon them. They'll go back to the very thing they left behind. And the next time there's a message or there's a sermon, they'll get back up. They'll come to Jesus. And then they will go back to their comfort zone. And I believe as we look through the church for generation after generation, we've been going backwards and forwards like a yo-yo for so long. It's time for it to change. See, Bartimaeus didn't want to go back home. Didn't want to go back to pick up his garments. He didn't want to go back to his old life, because in Christ he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. God opened his eyes, not just his physical, but his spiritual. And he said, Jesus, he said this, he said, Jesus, he followed Jesus on the road. In other words, he said, look, whatever it takes, I'm leaving everything behind. And I'm going to follow this man that gave me hope. And they didn't judge me. He didn't put me down. He gave me a reason to get up in the morning. He gave me a reason to be able to live again, to give me hope. Sometimes I often think to myself, I wonder if Bartimaeus was there when Jesus was dying on the cross. Because what I get from this scripture is that no matter what it took, he'd follow Jesus. And whatever it takes in our lives, we need to be coming Jesus. And I want to encourage you, the first thing that we need to do is start to call on Jesus. Bartimaeus would not have got the breakthrough unless he was willing to put things into action. He was not willing, if he wasn't willing to actually cry out to Jesus, to call on to Jesus with all his heart. My Bible says if you pray with all your heart, you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. Isn't that true? Or is that just true when things are good? You see, when things are difficult, when things are hard, that's when we need to seek more. When the crowd is in opposition to us and society is pressing against us, that's when we need to seek God more. When things get too much and we feel like we can't cope, that's when we need to seek God more. Then we say, God, I can't do this anymore. Help me. One of the best prayers that we could ever pray. I don't even feel like reading my Bible, but Lord, I'm going to cry out to you anyway. I'm going to seek you. The next thing that we need to do is to persevere. In James 1:12, it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast, and women as well. Whoever you are, be steadfast. In other words, remember the armor of God that we spoke about a few weeks ago? Above all else, stand. Well, when I got home from that mate was speaking on that day, and a few days later, my wife said to me, because obviously I went on a little bit, your wife is great at reminding you those things. But then she said a couple of weeks later, you know what? You set a precedent. I said, what do you mean? He said, Robin, it's been going on as long as you have for the last couple of weeks. So we want more of God, don't we? We're going to be steadfast under the trials, whatever it takes. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. That's not just in the good times, is it? That's when we don't feel like it. We seek God's face. When we're in our cars, it's the greatest place. If you're driving somewhere, is to start to cry out to Jesus. Whatever it takes, make a space to cry out to God. So not only do we need to cry out to God, to call out to God, not only do we need to persevere until we see the breakthrough. I always think about that woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. And she just cried out to God. Whatever it takes, another example of someone willing to push through the crowds of indifference to be able to touch the hem of his garment. And so as we come into God, as we're persevering, as we're seeking God, we need to obey Jesus' call. Everything that God has installed into us is to bring people into Jesus, to closer to Jesus. And sometimes we fail, and sometimes we forget, and sometimes we get distracted. But every situation you are in is a learning moment to bring people closer to Jesus. It's a moment where we can say, Lord, I don't understand. When people are out getting stressed around us, when we're seeing a rise of COVID as such that we haven't seen more as much as this time, even last year, where things seem to be getting worse and worse, people are crying out and wanting a hope, and they're looking for a church, not a building, a people, that will bring people to the feet of Jesus. So not only do we need to obey his call, one of the quotes that I love to quote quite often and reminds me by Dan Sutherland, he says this, as long as we are content with the status quo, we will never discover God's vision. I'll read this again. As long as we are content with the status quo, we will never discover God's vision. We're going to say, Lord, shake it up. And so as Bartimaeus got up, he started to praise God. The people looked at him. They saw him. He was the same person that was on the side of the road, but he was different. He had a transformation. And God is in the transformation ministry. He wants to take people that are rejected by society and bring them into a place of restoration. And you may be listening to this right now and you're feeling dejected. Maybe you're feeling an outcast. Maybe you're feeling as though nothing is going right. God wants to restore you into a place of sonship into his kingdom. He wants to give you a future and he wants to give you a hope. And I want to challenge you. You may be listening to this on the camera right now. I want to say, whatever you are, start calling out on Jesus. Start saying, Jesus, have mercy upon me. You may be in the most difficult situation of your life. Jesus, have mercy upon me. When you're going to work and everything seems to be going overloading and feeling hard, Jesus, have mercy upon me. I just want us to have a go at that, can we? After three, Jesus, have mercy upon me. Are you willing to do that? I just want you to practice because then you've got no excuse. You know what I mean? You've got the words then. You know what I mean? So after three, one, two, three. Jesus, have mercy upon me. Do we do it again? One, two, three. Jesus, have mercy upon me. That's what I want you to pray every single day. When you get up in the morning, I want you to say,
Jesus, have mercy upon me.
When you get up to go to bed and you're thinking, oh, this has been a hard day, what you want to pray? Exactly. You're all professionals now. You know what I mean? We've got to start to put practical guidelines into our lives that God can just speak into our hearts. And as you do this, whatever you need, Jesus will say, what do you really want? I still remember I was praying for a group of people and I was praying for the sick and one of the guys came up to me. I said, can I pray for you? He said, no. First of all, I thought, why is he coming forward anyway if he doesn't want me to pray for him? But then he said, I don't want to be healed. I said, why not? He said, it's because if I get healed, I will lose my benefits. In other words, he was so used to the status quo that he didn't want things to change because he was more afraid of God doing something and taking him out of his comfort zone. And I want to say, God won't do anything unless we want him to do it. He won't set you free unless you cry out to him. And then even at that moment in time, he will say to you, what do you want? So as you pray, Jesus, have mercy upon me. Hear the words of God. What do you want? What do you want me to do? What do you really want me to do? Not what Pastor Robbins asked you to do. What do you, as an individual, want God to do? Think about it this afternoon. Take some time out and have a quiet time and say, Lord, what do I really want you to do in my life? What do I really want you to do in the life of the church and in Redditch? But you've got to start with your life first. Because revival doesn't come by prayer only. Revival starts in individuals. As we say, use me. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you that you've given us a hope and a future. And just like Bartimaeus, as he cried out to you, you reached out into his situation and transformed his life. And Lord, I just pray right now, people are here that are struggling. We are not even know what's going to happen next week. But Lord, you can reach out into that darkness. And your light casts out all darkness. For where there is light, darkness cannot abide. And you gave light and sight to a man for years that was living in darkness. And right now, we come in agreement for the residents and the people of Redditch, that Lord, you will reach down, you will open their eyes to see the truth, and the truth will set them free. For people in our families that do not know you, we come together in agreement and we say, Lord, open their eyes to give them that choice to receive you. So, Father, anoint us afresh. Take us out of the status quo. We don't want to be content and lose sight of your vision. Bring us into a new level with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.